The Bible talks about Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, or toward the promised land through the wilderness. Pastoring is a journey, trying to get people from point A to point B. Getting people from a world of sin, out of sin, and get them headed in the right direction, headed toward heaven. And there is no pastor that is so brilliant and so intelligent and so anointed and so gifted that he can do it by himself. Amen. A leader who has no followers is merely taking a walk. There's got to be people that take the journey with the man. And God calls Moses, and he sends him with a message. And Moses, from the very beginning, began to express how inadequate that he felt. And I'm going to tell you, for those of you who've never been on this side, never stood behind this pulpit. Some of you ministers in the church, some of you that stand up here and sing, maybe you feel it some. There's probably no place that you feel more inadequate than right here. And for those of you who preach, testify, lead worship, lead singing, you feel that some. I'm going to tell you, there's no place where that is so pronounced than upon the ministry, and especially a pastor. Because we realize as a pastor, as a leader, as a man of God, you got to have the help of God. Got to have the anointing. Got to have the power of God. Got to have his approval and favor if this thing is going to work. And so Moses feels how inadequate that he is. And so God understands his dilemma. Moses says, I don't speak very well, and I don't want to go in there alone. And God, do you realize how powerful that Pharaoh is? And finally God says, okay, I'm going to give you someone to minister with you. Take Aaron the Levite. And that day, a great burden fell upon the shoulders of Aaron, even though he was the brother of Moses. Even though they had a close relationship, there was a great burden of the ministry of Moses that fell upon Aaron. Because from that day on, Aaron would minister with him. Aaron was so important that God had certain garments made for Aaron to enter into the tabernacle and to offer blood upon the altar and then to go into the Holy of Holies and all of that. God had special garments, a special mitre upon his head and a breastplate of judgment and this beautiful robe that he would wear that only the Levitical priest could wear, because Aaron ministered with the man of God. It was important. I'm going to tell you, this man needs people to minister with him. This man needs people that will catch his vision and catch his burden and see his dream come to pass. This is not a one-man show here. And he's probably going to rebuke me when I get through. So I'm going to make it quick so where I don't get much of a rebuke. But I'm going to tell you, this is not a one-man show. This is not about just pretty sermons. The man said it so right tonight, it blessed me. This is about seeing the vision. This is about filling up this church. This is about paying off this building. This is about building another building. This is about going to greater glory and bigger dreams and seeing more people reach for the glory of God and for the sake of the gospel. It's what this is about. And it's not just about one man stepping up here, but there are people, you know, there's a lot of people that they look at the man and say, minister to me, minister to me. Rather than lay hands on me, Pastor, lay hands on me. This is how we see ministry. Oh, bless me. Woo! Yeah, come on, lay hands on that. Helps. So good Sunday night. Woo! Hallelujah. And this is a new Sunday night. Come on, Pastor, lay hands on me. But you know what? The church would be far more effective. Far more effective. If we would get our eyes instead of, Pastor, minister to me. If we would turn and say, how can I minister? How can I bless? Pastor, put your hand on me. But now he can reach further. It's not just to bless me, it's to bless through me. It's not just about me, now it is through me to somebody else. Amen. That's the, you know, we get this all wrong. Say, Pastor, lay hands on me, bless me. And there's times we need that. But we got the focus wrong. We're pulling from the pastor rather than letting his anointing, his burden, his vision flow through us to somebody else. Oh, praise God. And so Aaron ministers with Moses. He ministers with him. He is an extension of Moses. And let me tell you, Aaron only received that privilege. Hear me. Aaron only received that privilege through the permission of the man of God and the permission of God himself. Boy, it's quiet. You know, I travel all across the country. I go to a lot of churches and I see a lot. And a lot of times there's no shortage of people that say, I got a word from God. Pastor, I need to share a word. Woo, I need to tell them something. Pastor, I've got a gift. Oh, I've got, I've got a calling. Ooh, hallelujah. Woo, I've got an anointment upon my life. Glory. I need to tell them something, Pastor. Aaron only ministered with the permission of Moses and the permission of God. You know, I've seen a lot of churches that will just descend into chaos because people want to, man, and rather than minister with the man of God, they want to minister in the place of the man of God. Well, I'll move on to something else. Hallelujah. Amen. Nobody can take this man's place. The only way you can minister effectively in this church is with this man's permission and with God's permission. God is a God of order. God is a God of authority. God is a God of structure. And if you want to be anointed, get the anointing of this man. If you want God to bless you, get the favor of this man upon your life and minister with him. I've seen churches turned into chaos because there's people, I want to tell them something. Let me tell you something. You don't get a place to tell them except through the permission and the ministry of the pastor that God has placed in this pulpit. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I'll move on. Aaron ministered with Moses. And there came a time in the battles and the struggles of life, the Amalekites attacking Israel, there came a time that Moses had to put his hands up overlooking the battle. And there came Aaron and Hur when the man of God became weary. Let me tell you this. The greatest chance a church has for victory is not in how much time the preacher spends with the people, how much time he counsels them, how much time he follows them around begging them to come to church, how much time he spends on the phone with them listening to their problems and talking with them over all the things that aggravate them about the church and about people and their families and their job and all of that stuff. I'm going to tell you, the greatest chance for victory that a church has, and we don't like this in 21st century America today because churches believe they own the preacher. And they've got him on the clock, and he better listen to every little gripe that they've got. But I want to tell you today, the greatest chance for revival that a church has is the more that preacher can keep his posture toward God in a posture of praise and worship and connection to God, the more chance there's going to be victory in the church. The more you let the man of God have time with God, in prayer, consecration, fasting, study, in the Word, and all of this, the more there is a spiritual dynamic that happens that cannot be explained. But I'm going to tell you, you know when you walk in, there's anointing in this place. You know when you walk in and there's a unity, that things are gelling, things are together, it's right. There's liberty in the Holy Ghost, and we all want that. I'm going to tell you, when Moses was spending his time from the early morning to late at night, and all he was doing was meeting with people. Did you know me and Sally, we have had a big old fight, and Moses, if you don't talk some sense into that woman, I'm telling you, I'm going to knock her teeth out. And he said, now, brother, don't do that. Now, brother, let's pray together. Brother, you need to understand. I'll never understand that woman. I'm telling you right now. And she said, I'm telling you, Pastor Moses Jr., I've had it. And his mama is even worse than he is. And I'm telling you, we are not setting up our tent next to them any longer. And he said, now, look, we all go to the same church now. You think about the church and think about the service and think about. And the father-in-law of Moses, Jethro, came in and said, Moses, you are killing yourself. You are going to wear away. You are going to waste away, and this people's going to wear out. Is that what he said? I'm telling you, sometimes churches want the pastor to put people first. The greatest thing a preacher can do is put God first. Well, he serves the people. No, he serves God first. He's God's man. And yes, he's to be a servant, but I'm going to tell you, first of all, he serves God. Please don't charge him with this. I'm already in trouble. Don't charge him with this. Amen. But while Moses is getting weary, he's a man. He gets exhausted. He gets tired. He had people that would minister with him, but as his hands got tired, he had Aaron and Hur come minister to him. The second thing he needs, see his hands get tired. He puts them down real quick. The second thing he needs is not only somebody to minister with him, but somebody to minister to him. I could get up here and say, well, wash his car every Friday. Why don't you take him to McDonald's once every 2 weeks, or you know, buy him a Big Mac or something. I could tell you all of that. You ought to pray and say, God, how could I be a blessing to my pastor and his family? You will never know the burdens that they carry. You will never know the times that people say things that are unfair, that are unjust, that are... And we act like, you know, I mean... You say, well, he's up there smiling, shaking hands with everybody. Is he a hypocrite? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I asked our folks here a while back. I got all y'all's attention. I'm telling you. I got everybody's attention. You may not like what I'm saying, but I got your attention tonight. Amen. I asked our folks. I said, well, you was acting like nothing bothered you. We just didn't think nothing bothered you. I said, well, okay. Y'all want me to act like it bothers me? Folks, I don't know if I can make it. There have been people mean to me. There have been people question my motives, and I don't know if I can. I ain't going to praise God. I ain't going to love God tonight. I'm mad. You know what? A preacher sometimes has to take this on. Hey, we're leaving your church. Nobody likes us down there. They all think they're better than us, and it's all your fault. They might as well say that. I'm leaving your church. I had a man, I didn't know whether to be insulted or be encouraged. He called me and said, I'm leaving your church. I ain't never coming back. Everybody down there, they think they're better than us. They got a lot of money. Man, I said, they do? Whew, I didn't know that. I got up and told him. I said, I found out y'all got a lot of money. They got a lot of money, they think, you know, and you, I'm going to tell you, you carry this burden. Let me tell you, a pastor wants everybody to be saved, wants everybody to make it, wants everybody to be happy in church, wants everybody to live for God and do right, wants everybody's marriage to survive and to thrive, wants everybody's children to be saved, and the burdens, you will never know. Let me tell you, I promise you, you will never know until you walk in those shoes. Amen. And a man needs someone to minister, not just with him, but to him. And then while Moses was up on the mountain, and he's got, finally somebody's helping him keep his hands up in the air and worshiping God, there was Joshua down in the valley, and he's leading the charge. And he's fighting. He didn't have to go back over there and say, now, Moses, is this okay? Is it, Moses, do I swing the sword this way or that way? Or Moses, how do I respond when the Amalekites come hit me? No, he's down there fighting, leading the way. He's fighting for Moses. Three things a pastor needs. He needs somebody to minister with him, somebody to minister to him, and somebody to fight for him. And you get those three things together in a church, and you can't help but have revival. I know when I preach this way, there'll be somebody say, well, I knew a preacher one time took all the money and all the tithes and spent it all on fried chicken. And I just ain't never been able to trust a preacher. And I knew a bad preacher one time. Well, I'm going to tell you, I've known some bad saints too. But I still got confidence. God's got some good people. You know what? I stand on the pulpit, on the platform, and I know there'll be some folks leave me. There'll be some folks get mad. There'll be some folks walk out. But you know what? I walk out there and I say, hey, let's have church. God is good. God is wonderful. I know there's going to be some more storms and some more battles. I know there's going to be some people get upset about something I preach or something I do. I know it's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, you got to have confidence. Hey, this batch of young people's going to make it. I believe these young couples are going to rise up and believe the truth and love it and lead the way in worship. You just got to have confidence. And brothers and sisters, amen, we got to have confidence that God has got the right man in the right place at the right time to lead us into a season of revival, to whip the Amalekites and give complete victory to Israel like we've never known. Amen. I wonder how many stand with me. I've got a whole lot more I could say. Y'all believe me? But I'm not. But I wonder tonight if I could have some people lift your hands and say, God, I want to fit in one of those categories. Would you tell the Lord, God, show me how to minister with my pastor, minister to my pastor, and fight for my pastor? It's a cruel world. It's a brutal world. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. We've got to find our place. And when we find our place, we'll be fulfilled. We'll have joy like we've never had. Come on, let's raise our hands. Let's lift our voices. God, let me find my place in your kingdom and be a blessing to the work of God. Hallelujah. God bless you. It's been great to be here. Let's clap our hands and give the Lord praise.